Welcome back to Scissors and Scrubs. I'm Nicole.
I'm Laura.
And we did all our housekeeping on the last episode.
Yes,
and since we're recording the same night, I don't have any housekeeping for tonight, except hopefully by now I have finished The Women.
God, I hope so.
I finished The Women and moved on to new books that aren't making me cry. We are talking, a lot of people have asked us, of course, our friend, remember the girl who wrote in like a million different ideas? This is part of her ideas
as well. Yeah,
We've done like three episodes already on her ideas.
Thank God for her.
Yeah. I can't remember your name, but you were fantastic. So we're covering different occupations nurses can go into, things I wish I knew 1,000 years ago, because maybe I would have done something more, but
I wouldn't have.
I really don't feel like I'm smart enough for any of these.
No, so. I think we could do it, but I don't want to do either of these.
CRNA does interest me.
Oh, no.
But I don't feel I'm smart enough for the meds and quick enough on my feet with math to be able to dose people up with shit. You know, it's good money.
I'm sure
it's not a lot of heavy lifting in CRNA, not for nothing.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
All right. So what is a CRNA as I go about and shoot the shit about it? It is a certified registered nurse anesthetist.
Yes, it is.
Cleveland Clinic and the Association, I believe, of Nurse Anesthetists.
Okay.
All right. Certified, registered. Nurse anesthetist. They are advanced practice registered nurses who administer anesthesia and other meds. There you go. Their specific responsibilities: they educate people before and after anesthesia. They assess people with physical responses to an anesthetic, an assessment. They assess persons with physical, I said that. No, they assess also. So they're educating and assessing you before you have surgery. Let's put it in a fancier word. They are IDing risks to allergies and other health-related issues that can affect a patient under anesthesia, which we should cover malignant hypothermia one time. They are providing precise doses of anesthesia.
Yes, they are.
CRNAs can work in the OR, the PACU, the ER, and surgery centers. CRNAs have been around for about 150 years.
Wow.
Did you know that? I didn't know that either. Nurses first gave anesthesia, which makes sense, on the battlefields of the Civil War.
Makes sense.
Back to the book for the women, or the women, there is nurse anesthetists in there. That was, the wars were a big place for nurse anesthetists because you just couldn't recruit enough doctors for this stuff. In World War One, nurse anesthetists were predominant providers of anesthesia. Laura.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think you should have been a CRNA.
I can't even say it, let alone administer it.
No.
They're predominant providers of anesthesia to soldiers on the front lines.
There you go.
CRNA credentials came into existence in 1956.
Oh.
So before then, you could just fucking give anesthesia.
Just give it.
I mean, I love watching MASH. Being an OR nurse, I like watching MASH because you see them like dropping ether into the mask and like the stethoscope onto the chest and they're what, you know, like not that anesthesia, I'm not discounting what they're doing today, but when you were giving anesthesia in the 50s and 60s, you were giving anesthesia. You were monitoring that patient. There's no machine telling you that their CO2 is down. You had to fucking see it for yourself. You were monitoring that patient. It's crazy. All right. Today, CRNAs have full practice authority in every branch of the military and are primary providers of anesthesia care to U.S. military personnel, front lines, Navy ships, aircraft evacuations. CRNAs provide anesthesia to over 50 million patients a year in the U.S. As advanced practitioners, they are among the most trusted in the profession. Did you know that? Many rural hospitals solely use CRNAs. We had a girlfriend who worked at a hospital. All they have is CRNAs. I've only worked in situations where CRNAs are working under anesthesiologists. So one anesthesiologist oversees a bunch of them.
So I worked at a hospital that had, like, every room was staffed by a CRNA. There was one, but there was an attending anesthesiologist.
Her hospital is a hospitalist. There's no anesthesiologist on site. And if you had to give blood, you had to get it shipped in.
Oh, God help
me. Yeah, you're fucked. Education for a CRNA. My niece wants to be one. You need a bachelor's in nursing or at least a graduate degree in nursing. So you could have your bachelor's in art, but you went back to school and now you're a graduate nurse in nursing. You need to pass your boards as a registered nurse. You need at least 1 year. I think it was two. It may come down to one. You need 1 year experience as a registered nurse in a critical care setting, ICU, ER, someplace where I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. ICU nurses of the creme de la creme. Mm-hmm. They are giving anesthesia. They are running dialysis machines. They're giving blood. They're running. They are unbelievable mm-hmm. nurses. I will never discount them. They can be total bitches, but they are really great nurses. They are the best nurses going.
They're good and they know right. it.
You need to graduate then from a CRNA school, which I believe is about 3 years. I think it is 3 years. That was as of August of 2022. There are currently 130 accredited CRNA programs. The program can range from 24 to 51 months, depending if you're going full or part-time. You have to have an average of 9,369 hours of clinical experience. So we have a bunch of student CRNAs in the OR
you,
right
like,
now.
You can't work when you're in no. that school.
I think even nursing school, I mean, there are, God bless the women, there are nurses who have women who have worked while they were in nursing school. I did work while I was in nursing school, but I worked part-time. God bless my parents. I bitch about them all the time, but they let me live at home for mm-hmm. free. It's hard. It's a very hard program to go through regular nursing school, let alone nurse anesthetist mm-hmm. school, because you're basically becoming an anesthesiologist in 3 years. Mm-hmm. You're not doing 4 years of medical school, 4 years of residency yeah. and fellowships and this and that. They're doing exactly what anesthesiologists are doing. The prereqs, you need a GPA of 3.0 or higher. A GRE of over 300, 1 year critical care. The curriculum can vary depending on your advanced career achievements. Mm-hmm. You need an interview with instructors. You have a writing test. The major difference between an anesthesiologist and a CRNA is an anesthesiologist is a medical doctor. He has done 4 years of medical school, a residency, and then delivers anesthesia. CRNAs collaborate with doctors in anesthesia, or they can work independently. Most rural hospitals, as we just said, are solely CRNA run. I said, the military is almost solely CRNA run because they're just not going to put out doctors like that. Mm-hmm. The average salary for a CRNA is over $200,000 a year, mm-hmm. whereas an anesthesiologist can be over $300,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And that is my CRNAs.
Nice.
So we work with them frequently in the yeah. OR. I do think that they approach women.
Patients.
They approach patients in the nursing form.
They're a nurse.
Right. So they're a nurse. They're approaching them differently yeah. than the doctors do. So I think you always see a little more compassion, a little more consideration.
Even I mean, doctors are great. There's nothing.
I've worked some fantastic anesthesiologists. Yes, I'm not taking this away from them.
But they don't look at it as like, the other day, you know, they were putting stuff at the top of the bed, like instruments, and the patient's face was there. And I was like, hey, just so you know, they keep putting in the, it was a CRNA, and they're like, I already patted the face. I saw them doing it. Some doctors will notice
we're
that.
We're taught nurses differently. Nurses are taught differently than
attention.
The doctors.
Like, hey, they're putting some pressure on that face. Right. Whereas sometimes a doctor isn't looking for that because they're more monitoring
something else. A doctor's never writing incident reports on skincare and all this stuff. And these women have done nursing. They're not just.
Women and men.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes. Women and men and whatever else is out there. They are approaching it from a nursing perspective versus a physician perspective. You're taught differently. We're taught differently. So, like I said, I have a niece out there who wants to do this. It's a fantastic career. I do think it's a career if you decide to do it early on in your career. I wouldn't wait till your 40s or 50s to become a CRNA. It's a lot. It's a lot to do. And I just feel at my age, I'm done. I'm a minority probably. I don't want to learn anything new. I'm done. I'm looking to retire.
Well, also you're taking on a huge amount of debt.
In work. Yep.
In a ton of hours. So if you have, if you can do it before you have kids, if not, whatever. I mean, you can do it whenever you want to do it, but it's a lot of hours. Right. You can't work. So your pay for that
it's
3 years
of schooling,
is down.
It's a
and
lot
then,
of studying. Yeah, it's a lot. Huge commitment. But it is a satisfying career. It's a great career for women and men, especially if you're, you know, staying home, taking care of kids. You can do this a couple of days a week and it's a great paycheck. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend it. It wasn't like I would do it if I didn't feel I was smart enough. And I'm sure there were other people out there who aren't as smart as me can still do it. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't my thing, but it's a great career. Great career. So look into it.
Yeah. It's a good option. All right. I kind of did two. I did NPs, which are nurse practitioners, versus a physician's assistants or a PA.
Because people confuse them too. Like,
it's like, where's the line? Right. Like, what's the difference? So I'll get into that. So I got this from nursejournal.org. So NPs, I'm going to just use the initials. NP is nurse practitioner. PA is physician's assistant. NPs and PAs are both mid-level practitioners. So CRNAs are advanced level. PAs and NPs are mid-level mm-hmm. practitioners. But there are differences in schooling, duties, and specializations. So they both provide direct patient care. They perform assessments. They diagnose and they develop treatment plans. Both of them. To become an NP, an NP starts their career as an RN. Mm-hmm. You can be a diploma, an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, whatever. You have to have your RN. They can either obtain a master's or a doctorate to become an NP. So wherever you started, you have to be an RN, regardless of what program you went, pass your boards, become an RN. And then you have to go on to schooling to either finish a master's or a doctorate in NP. Many NP programs require one or more years of clinical nursing experience prior to admission. So they want you to be working as an RN before you apply to be an NP.
I mean, there are programs now you can go from being an op major to an NP in about a year and a half, but I think you do yourself a disservice if you do that. You need to have some clinical experience, I think, to be able to do what NPs do.
Yes. While you're enrolled in an NP program, students complete 1,000 hours of supervised clinical practice.
That's a lot.
Yeah. NPs focus on primary or acute care, and specialties in family practice, pediatrics, psych, or women's health. They decide their focus prior to training.
I will tell you, when my daughter split her head wide open and had to get it stapled, the person who stapled it was an NP in the ER. Mm-hmm. Had I known that job existed, that is what I would be doing all day long.
If they want to switch disciplines later on, they need to do new training hours in that field. So if they started out like, I want to do peds, they do the 1,000 hours, like, nah, do pizza.
Yeah.
They have to do another 1,000 in psych. They need to make sure their programs hold accreditation from the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education or Accreditation, the Commission for Education and Nurse, or the Commission for Education and Nursing. It takes 2 to 3 years. NPs recertify every 5 years and can do it with clinical hours in continuing education, like they're working and they're doing their continuing education. Or they can take a recertifying exam. Like, I don't know, if you were out with a baby who hadn't had enough clinical hours, you can take a recertifying exam. So to become a PA, a person interested in becoming a PA must receive a Master's of Science in Physician Assistant Studies. So that's an actual program of studies. Mm-hmm. First, they need to obtain a bachelor's degree, preferably a science-based one, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a science-based one. PA program applicants need healthcare experience. Most programs require 1,000 hours prior to being accepted. So they can work as EMTs, they can work as paramedics, nursing assistants, RNs, LPNs, surgical techs. You just need healthcare experience and they want to see at least 1,000 hours. PA programs take about 3 years and focus on coursework and clinical rotations in general medicine. PA programs should be accredited by the Accreditation Review Commission on Education for the Physician Assistant. graduates take the PA National Certified Exam and apply for their PAC credentials with their state board. PAs must recertify every 10 years. So NPs recertify every 5. PAs recertify every 10. PAs do not pick a specialty before starting the program. They are trained in general medicine.
Period.
They receive a broad-based general medicine education, which allows them to work in any area of medicine. Where the NPs, they are trained in the specific area of study they want to do, so they have to pick that before they go. So what does an NP actually do? They take medical histories, they perform physical exams, they assess symptoms, they order, administer, and analyze diagnostic testing. They formulate and adjust treatment plans. They administer medications and treatments. They collaborate with physicians and other healthcare providers. And they advise patients and families on preventative health or illness and injury management. PAs. They take and review patients' medical histories. They perform physical exams. They diagnose and treat illnesses. They order and interpret diagnostic tests. The difference I saw there was NPs order administer and analyze diagnostic tests. PAs order and interpret. So I don't think they're administering the test.
So they can,
They formulate and implement treatment plans. They prescribe and administer medications. They advise patients and families on preventative health and illness and injury management. Main differences, MPs are autonomous in most states and do not work under a physician. NPs do
especially
not.
Especially in rural areas. Yeah. They are on their
that's
own.
That's it. They do not work under, they have their own practice. Mm-hmm. PAs most often work under the supervision of physicians based on state regulations. Mm-hmm. Most states require agreements between PAs and specific physicians to practice.
A PA is a physician's assistant.
It says it right in the name.
He's like a resident. Yep. He's doing the work for the physician.
And a nurse practitioner is a practitioner.
Right.
Who is a nurse.
Right.
So the NPs have certain specializations that they can do. They choose it, again, like I said, they choose a specialty during school and focus all their clinical hours on that specialty. 70% of MPs are family NPs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go to your doctor's office for your checkup. They're the ones doing your, I have an MP.
They're doing your assessments and you're like running labs and.
Yep. I don't even see, I haven't seen my.
I only see my doctor.
Well, my doctor left and then this, there was an MP that had worked under him. So I just saw her and then she left and then I got an. They gave me a new doctor and a new MP, but I've only seen, I don't care. I don't even know who the
MPs
doctor.
MPs are great. Again, they're approaching to you as a nursing profession than a doctor.
Yep. 9% of MPs are adult gerontology primary care MPs. So they work with older adults. Mm-hmm. 6.5% are psychiatric mental health MPs. 5% are acute care MPs, which is what you would want to do.
I would love that.
2.5% are pediatric primary care MPs and 1% are adult gerontology acute care MPs, so older adult but acute care,
right.
And 2% are women's health MPs, so they work in OBGYN, you know.
Yeah, because the midwives kind of document, you know, take over that.
A third, so PAs focus in different areas. A third of PAs focus on surgical care.
Only a third? Because I would think it would be more than that.
That's a lot.
I would think more like 90% of them because they seem to be a lot of them in surgery.
Yeah. 20% do primary. Well, we work in surgery. So that's
true.
Probably say.
That is true.
20% do primary care. 13% are in internal medicine specialties. 4% have no specialty. And 2% focus on PD subspecialty. So very few of them do PD.
Yeah. PD's tough.
Yeah. An average annual NP salary is $124,680 or $59.95 an hour. I'm just going to let that sink into your face right now.
Can you see my face right now, Laura? Uh-huh. I just saved myself a shitload of debt. You you're just going to be an old fucking crone and you're making more than that.
Earnings obviously depend on the specialty, state.
Yes, the years,
your education level, what facility you work at, all that. Just with nursing, the amount you're paid varies greatly.
Clearly.
The employment growth projections for MPs between 2022 and 2032 is 45%. So it's a great field to go into.
It's almost getting saturated, though.
No, they're saying the growth is going up. They need more. The growth is 45%.
Are they replacing the doctors?
Maybe. That's way above that. Growth projection is way above the average for jobs. That's like an insane growth projection.
That is insane. I'm almost thinking I should go back.
Nope. Did you just hear?
I know. But I could like to be autonomous.
Not me. Just tell me what to do. The PA average annual salary is $125,370 or $60.23 an hour.
So they're making a few more change than the NPs.
Yeah. Washington, California, and Alaska PAs make the most money.
Because they're rural.
Yeah. PA job growth between 2022 and 2032 is 27%, which is still high. Yeah. But NP job growth is ridiculous. So that's a good thing to look into. Fast facts.
Uh-oh. You know I love my facts.
MPs first become RNs, then complete graduate MP programs. This is just reviewing what we talked about. PA programs seek students with some experience in healthcare, like nursing, paramedics, respiratory therapists, radiology, or surgical technologists. PAs must recertify every 10 years. MPs typically recertify every 5 years and may maintain certification with a combo of clinical practice hours and continuing education or by passing a recertifying exam. MPs are advanced practice nurses, which includes an advanced nursing education with a specific population focus or field of practice. PA programs emphasize general medical practices, diagnosis, procedures, and treatments. MPs have full practice authority in 22 states and DC. So MPs are completely autonomous in 22 states and Washington, DC. PAs typically work under physician oversight. And that is the difference between MPs and PAs.
Yeah, we have PAs in the OR, and they will go in cardiac. They take the vein.
Yeah.
They work all our robots in rural areas. If you ever work in a community hospital, they don't have residents. So the PA comes in, he works, and he closes, and he opens. Mm. Like, they do a lot, and it's kind of cool. I think it's very interesting. Again, yeah. Another career that had I known about 30 years ago, I'd have thought about it. Mm. They're great careers.
Mm-hmm.
So we are moving on to midwifery.
Oh, good.
Midwives. I always think of some lady back in the 1300s, you know.
With the braid and gray hair, flowing
skirt.
She's
got some kind of rag on her head, and she's concocting some kind of poultice for you on her. Yeah.
That's an affection.
Yeah. Or PBS is Call the Midwife. So midwife means.
I love that show.
With women. I loved it. I watched a couple of seasons. And then it was just like, once Jenny left, who really kind of wrote the first couple of seasons, I loved it. And I was thinking, I'm like, this is so random. The children of that first couple of seasons would be like Ozzy Osbourne, the Beatles. Like, it's not that far.
No, it's not that far gone.
In the past. Yeah. These are the children born in the 50s and 60s that became really famous living in East London in the ghettos.
Yeah. All right. Anyways.
Back to midwives. Yeah. All right. Midwives have been around since the Paleolithic era. I mean, I get all these. Yeah, whatever. I'm going back on you.
You got the big word.
You got the big word. 35,000 to 350 BC, Egyptians saw this as a scientific and paid profession for women.
Wow.
But do we think we progress forward from the Egyptians? No, we fucking go backwards.
Of course we do.
Because women are shit. After the Egyptians revered women, the Vikings revered women, we just went to fucking shit after that.
What happened then?
Early Europeans, which would be 2200 BC to 1700 BC, saw midwives as a profession. But by the Middle Ages, they are witches. Okay, Laura.
It makes so much sense.
Burn the witch. Burn her.
We're going to pay her, and now we're going to put you to death for doing the
witches
same thing.
Witches and heretics, and could be hung or burned.
Oh, my God.
Because you knew a little bit about the human body, you knew how to heal people, you're a fucking freak.
Yeah.
In Africa, women have been midwives for centuries. In the colonies, midwives are still the main providers for women. So if you go into third world countries, you're going to see midwives still helping women with birthing and etc. Traditional midwives, they would learn under the apprenticeship of an older experienced midwife, the old crone with the Birkenstocks. They would travel to women's homes. They would help them deliver. Today, a midwife falls under the advanced care nursing profession. They have knowledge and skills in pregnancy, birth, and postpartum care. They have a bachelor's in nursing and then 1 to 2 years of clinical experience, which I'm going to guess most of them have labor and delivery experience. Then they do another 2 years with a master's in midwifery. They may also have a doctorate in midwifery or nursing.
Oh,
okay. So the role of a midwife. She helps a woman decide on the coping mechanisms for labor, i.e., I just want a fucking epidural. Give me nothing else. She may help them. If they want a natural birth, I don't know why you would do that. If you want to sit on the ball and bounce, like, she's going to come up with a birthing plan for you and help you with all that. She's going to explain your options for pain relief. She's going to help with a birthing plan that fits your individual needs and desires. I want to birth it in a pool. I want to eat the placenta. Whatever you want to do, she's going to help you with that.
It doesn't have to be that
she's
crazy.
She's also going to give you a realistic expectation about labor and delivery. It's going to fucking hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt a lot.
You know, the
ring of fire. Yeah. You're going to want that epidural. The pool may not be, it's a pool of infection. You may not want a birth in a pool. Okay. So she's going to give you your options. She might suggest position changes.
Yes.
And movement that will facilitate your birth.
Because they know that. They're like, hey, oh, it seems like it's this way. How about you throw your leg up this way and put your butt out that way?
I was in the skiing. I was riding the water skis, as they said. They gave me this like bar that went over the bed.
I'm not shitting you, went like this 10 times.
No, and they put my bar and I had to hold onto the sheet. And pull. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is the 2000s, right? Like, what year am I living in? I feel like I could have dug a hole in the backyard and dropped it out in the back.
No, I did a good old...
Oh, I did that with Vienna. We had both legs up. This was the pull.
Oh, I didn't have to. I'm not what I'm saying is I did
you
that
water
10
skiing?
Times.
Like, I was terrible at water
you
skiing.
You want to be done? Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
No, I was water skiing for 3 hours, Laura. 3 hours.
Nope.
All right.
I didn't need to water ski, although I'm really good at water skiing.
Oh, no. I face planted every time. Okay, because I have no patience. Depending on training, midwives may also offer health services to women throughout life, depending on your degree of training.
Okay.
You can give general health checkups, vaccinations, GYN care, treatment for common infections, treatment for STDs, pain control, birth control. That's the other side. Those back to heretics and witches.
No.
And they can... Okay, so this gets into different ones. When I was having my son, I didn't want the midwife. I wanted who the midwife's going to go to. But midwives probably are a better option.
Yes, yeah.
Again, they're approaching this as nurses and not physicians. Mm-hmm. But I was a little like spastic and ignorant back in the day. So I'm like, no, who's the midwife going to go to when she's in the shit? She's going to go to the GYN. That's who I want.
Yeah.
But it's not fair to the midwife because the midwife in my office was 1,000 years old. And I remember
but that's the midwife you want.
You think,
she's
right?
She's seen some shit.
So I was with my third and I was probably 8 months pregnant. I had a cold like you have never seen. And I was like, I need some help. And I went to so this is what bizarres me out, okay? I am 8 months pregnant. Go to the fucking, my GYN. She's like, oh no, it's a cold. You got to go to your PCP. We don't take care of colds.
Yeah, but the PCP's going to go, I don't know what to give you because you're 8 months
PCP
pregnant.
PCP says to me, you're 8 months pregnant. I'm not giving you shit. Following week, I see the midwife because I'm at that point now. I'm going every week. And I'm like, I'm not sleeping. I'm miserable. I got this cough. She gives me fucking codeine.
Mm.
Okay. Yep. Well, the baby didn't move for 2 days.
Oh, yeah, like, they're asleep.
Because I slept like a fucking baby.
No.
And I take it, and I'm like, 2 days in, I'm like, I haven't felt the baby move in 2 days. I said to Brian, he's like, what? You haven't felt the baby move in 2 days? I'm like, do you think I killed it?
Do you think it was the codeine?
I was coughing so hard, I broke my ribs.
Yeah.
Because you're 8 months pregnant. But I was like, she gave me the codeine. The GYN doctor and the PCP wouldn't give me codeine, but she fucking gave me codeine.
Because she's like, this is fine.
Yeah, she almost killed my baby.
No, that's she didn't. He was sleeping.
For days.
He was high.
He was high, all right. Okay, so there are CNMs. They are certified nurse midwife. They have a bachelor's in nursing and a master's in midwifery. They graduate from a certified nurse midwife program. Okay. They pass a national exam. They can work in all healthcare settings. They provide general female health lifelong. So, adolescent, you've given birth, I'm menopausal, she's going to take care of you all the way. They can prescribe medicines, most medicines, and they represent most of the midwives you encounter in the United States. Then you have certified midwives. They have a bachelor's in a different field. Like I had my bachelor's in nursing and then I got my master's in midwifery in nursing. So you don't have a full nursing background like a certified nurse midwife.
So then they don't have their bachelor's in nursing?
No.
Okay.
But they went like an NP and they got their RN and then got their master's in midwifery.
So they are still RNs?
They're still RNs, I believe. Or maybe they're just... It's unclear to me. It really wasn't...
I would think they weren't if it didn't say nurse.
Right. So they're just midwives.
Yeah.
They have some education and they have the same education and they pass the same exam as the certified nurse midwife. They provide the same services, but not all states will license them.
Okay. Because they don't have the nursing license.
Right. So you can't practice in all states. Then you had certified professional midwives. They receive an apprenticeship training and they graduate from an accredited program in midwifery. They take a different national exam than the CNMs and the CMs. They can only do pregnancy, birth, and postpartum care. Okay. They cannot give you any other kind of care. They will do birthing centers.
Mm-hmm.
They will do home births.
Mm-hmm.
So they can provide care outside of the hospital setting.
This is more like people who they follow a midwife and train with them.
Yes, and they want to eat their placenta. They are not licensed in all states. So my advice would be find a certified nurse midwife.
Mm-hmm.
She can help you in any state, in any atmosphere, in any weather.
Right.
So if complications arise during birth, I was under the assumption stuff goes bad, The midwife steps aside, GYN doctor steps in. It is not what happens. The midwife is still in that room. She is still assisting. She isn't going to step aside. She's going to start working with the doctor to do what's best for this the mother and child. They are going to collaborate with the doctor in a C-section, even though she's not certified to do a C-section. She's going to support emotionally and physically any comfort, anything that mother needs. She's there with the mother to help her.
Mm-hmm.
So that information comes from lifespan.org. News and blog, what is the difference between a doctor and midwife, and the Journal of Nursing.
Okay. When you were saying that, did you ever read the book, The Midwife?
Maybe not.
It's a fictional book, but it is, I had to look it up because I was like, I couldn't remember who wrote it. Wait, no, is that the one? Yes. It's called Midwives, I'm sorry. It's by Chris Bojalian. I read this like a million years ago. It is so good.
Send it to me. I'll read it.
It's about
I'll read it next.
Midwife who is helping in a birth. It's like a stormy, snowy night. No one can get to them. They can't get to the hospital. She's in someone's home. Shit goes bad.
Real bad.
It is so fucking good. It is so good. Yeah. I might like reread it now that you made me think of it. And I was like, oh my God, I loved that book.
I will tell you. I even in C-sections when I have to scrub them or whatever, insist on them, I don't like dealing with babies. It scares me.
I don't like treating babies.
Right. Yeah, I will never come back from a death of a baby. I'll tell you that right now. That will end my career. And fortunately, 30 years in, I have not had to see that or witness that. I can't imagine helping somebody in a birth and it's going bad.
Yeah.
I would lose my fucking mind. So God bless these women that are out there that they want to do this. It must be so rewarding to bring babies into the world, and who doesn't love a little baby? No. But when it goes bad, I couldn't do it. That's why I don't deal with peds.
Yeah.
I don't want I am too sensitive, which you would know to know me. I'm too sensitive to deal with children and babies.
Yeah.
I won't come back from it. Animals, children, babies, off limits for me. Off
done.
Limits. I'm done. Old hags, I can watch you die all day long. Little babies want no part of it.
No.
Do we have another email for this?
I don't think so.
Are we done? Do we have one on Facebook? No?
Hold, please, Mike.
Hold, please. Yeah, I think this is an installment we should do all the time where we're going to just cover different, because I don't feel like high schools tell you enough about what's out there to do in the medical field. It's either nurse or doctor. I want to cover perfusionists. I want to cover radiology technicians. I want to cover surgical technicians. I want to cover all these things so people know there are other options out there to get you started in the medical field, even if nurse isn't exactly what you want to do just yet. You get that?
They're not
It's just
really.
A quick little quip.
There's a couple.
Okay.
I don't think we read these. So we have one thing. One listener wrote to us on Instagram and said, I just listened to your newest episode about swallowing things, and that reminded me of the Mutter's Museum in Philadelphia. They have a set of drawers of various things people have swallowed. I believe the museum has a virtual tour on YouTube.
I think we should go down.
It's MUTTERS, in case anybody wants to see the drawer of shit that people swallow. That was from Amelia. Thank you. And then Michelle sent us a message and said, hi ladies, I can't remember if you ever covered the Japan tsunami. I have no idea how I came across this, but I figured I would send it your way in case you haven't covered it and need an idea.
Which we have not,
and it is a great idea. And the first thing she sent us is about a hospital and interviews with the nurses.
Ooh,
yeah, so
we
I
have
think
to look
we'll
at
definitely
that. That'd
be
cool.
That. Yeah. I think that's it.
All right. I love hearing from you guys. Please keep sending the emails and the little notes. It makes me happy. Somebody left us a really nice review recently. Of course, I don't know where it is. It might be on iTunes. They sent us a really nice review. I love hearing from you guys. It makes me happy. I don't get much these days, guys, so give me that, will you? And we've got some stuff coming up. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. Prom season's coming up. My daughter's going to the prom. God help us all. I keep saying to her, I'm like, so are you going with this one? I don't know. I'm like, please make up your mind.
Sam has one this Friday, and then in 2 weeks he has another one. So we shall see.
I think the latest one came in February. I love listening to both of you. I'm a PACU nurse, especially the Valentine's Day episodes when you talked about the placenta and eating it. I had to throw up my gum that I was chewing. I mean, yeah, tell me, I vomited in my mouth a little bit. Yeah, prom season's coming up. I have some ideas for that. But we take all your ideas. We've already used three of our dear friend who wrote us a full list. We have that God list love. Somewhere.
Oh, we have this one too. This is from January. Sorry.
That's okay.
Jackie said, I need to email you guys. I have a draft sent from the summer. Haha.
Good. So we're reading it really late.
She's a staff nurse at Mass General and that turned into an elementary school nurse full time.
God
and
bless.
She's still per diem at Mass General. She has two jobs and two kids. She said, my ADD got the best of me. So she sent us a link to Wondery. This is actually happening podcast. And it's what if you were crushed by a 10,000 pounds of stone? Ooh. And she said, this is my neighbor.
Corey Giles.
Yeah. The guy is so nice and it's an amazing story. I think he is hoping to get it made into a screenplay. Just an FYI, good listen if you ever wanted to do a big story on big trauma med flight. He would be great to talk to, too.
That is a good one.
And she says she worked at ortho trauma neurology, and she loves the stories about traumas and weird shit men have done to their junk. Said, I have stories for day. My non-nurse friends are always horrified. Thanks for doing this podcast. I love everything about it. Well, thank you,
Jackie. We love it, too. Keep writing in, ladies.
Yeah, thank you very
Keep
much.
Keep writing in. Okay, so it's, what time is it, Laura, right now?
It's 7
o'clock, and I could still see sunlight.
Yeah. Still sunny.
It is happening. So it excited. Is happening.
So I just walk with like my arms out.
Yeah.
And my face like to the sun. I'm like, I must look like the biggest weirdo.
Well,
like,
we talked about this. Sun. I did go on vacation. And I went to Bonaire. Mm-hmm. And I came back in a full body rash like I did last year.
Yeah.
And it's still on my feet.
Ew.
Yep. So I'm going to talk to my dermatologist and see if there's any way to prevent this next year when I decide to go to, I don't know, Saba.
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to stop going in the sun.
No.
I will deal with the disfiguration. So listen, everybody, enjoy the new sunlight. Be careful in the spring. Don't do anything stupid.
Yes.
And we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
Like, subscribe, rate, and review the Scissors and Scrubs podcast on whatever podcast app you listen to us on. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Scissors and Scrubs. And email us any of your stories or thoughts to scissorsandscrubs@gmail.com.